Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.
Today's scripture reading comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 through 21 in the New Testament of the Pew Bible. So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting the message of reconciliation to us. So we are ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making his appeal through us, we entreat you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he has made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Amen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So let me ask you a question. When you hear the word empower, who or what comes to mind? For me, Wonder Woman appears. When I saw the movie, I saw how she was empowered to serve and to do what was right. She was empowered from such a young age. She was intrigued. She was actually encouraged to be intrigued. It made her stronger, and it made her confident. When I saw that movie, I became more confident, and I feel like I became stronger. A Wonder Woman of faith that I would like to just kind of share a little bit about to you at the very beginning is very personal in my own life. You don't know Caitlin, but I do. Caitlin is an amazing, strong, and confident Wonder Woman of God. You see, Caitlin, about 2 weeks ago, lost her battle with cancer. She was 27 years old and had been fighting since she was 25. I knew her since she was a little girl because she was in my sister's class, and I've known her brother and sister, who are a couple years older than myself, and we went to the same babysitter, and so I've known their family now for 37 years. You see, every single time that Caitlin would walk into the room, her smile and her faith would radiate the room. She just glowed, and she didn't even have to say a word. Besides, not only her smile, but she had these amazing dimples. You just wanted to go and just, you know, squeeze her cheeks from when she was just a little baby. You see, she was a strong woman of God who was empowered in Christ. You see, God was not the source of her cancer, but God was the source of her strength and her determination and her fight to fight those 2 years. Always, Christ was in Kate, and Kate was in Christ. Many of us have women in our lives that exhibit great strength and exemplifies empowerment in our lives. We see women throughout Scripture. Today I'm going to be introducing you to three in particular women of the United Methodist women, but also our personal lives. In Methodism, we have Susanna Wesley, we have Fanny Crosby, and Susan Collins. In Scripture, we have Mary, Esther, Ruth, and we could continue on. Even the women who had not a name given, besides like the Samaritan woman. But we know that the Samaritan woman had a name. We just don't know what her name was. In my life, I shared about Caitlin, but also I have my mother, my grandmother, cousins, aunts, and friends. And although I never met her, Mother Teresa has always been one that I've always looked up to in her faith. I could spend hours, much like all of you could, if we would sit down and talk about these wonder women of faith in your life and how they empowered you. But what brings them all together is the fact that they were all in Christ. And like our scripture today talks about becoming new, which when we become new, to me that's empowering to go out and do what God has called us to do. The verse that resonates with me today is verse 17. It says, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation. Everything old has passed away. See, everything has become new." Since today is United Methodist Women Sunday, I would love to share a few snippets of these women. Now, you're going to notice that they're from the 1600s and the 1800s. And the reason I do so is so that we can see how long women have been serving in such an amazing, powerful role. And did it even start there? No. We see in our scripture that women were beside Jesus every step of the way. They never left him, and they were there till the end. And they continue to be there. So I ask you another question. How many of you have ever heard of the hymns "Blessed Assurance" and "Close to Thee"? Hymns that we're very familiar with, right? What if I told you that these hymns were composed by a devout woman of faith who happens to be United Methodist? Fanny Crosby is a legendary Methodist hymn writer from the 1800s. She is credited to writing over 8,000 hymns. Despite losing her sight 6 weeks after birth in 1820. At the age of 30 in 1850, she experienced a conversion at Chelsea Methodist Episcopal Church in New York. You see, Crosby was drawn to the denomination's work with the marginalized. It's why we have social principles. It's why we have opened up hospitals and centers across the entire world, because of being so devout in their faith. Her hymn, "Rescue the Perishing," was written one night after Crosby prayed with a man at a city homeless shelter. Her writing process always started with a prayer, and she sometimes composed 6 to 7 poems every day. She passed away in 1915 at the age of 94, and in 1974, she was posthumously inducted into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. Another wonder woman of the United Methodist faith is Susan Collins. She was an early trailblazer for all of us United Methodist women. In the years following the Civil War, Collins went to college and became a successful business owner. She was a remarkable woman before she ever entered the mission field. Which that mission field was to Africa. Born in Illinois in 1851, she was the daughter of an indentured servant, and she was the first African-American woman student to attend Upper Iowa University. During the time she owned her own laundry business, individuals would come and bring their laundry in newspaper. And one of those newspapers is when she found that there was this advertisement about the Chicago Training School, which is a school for home and foreign missions. So at the age of 36, she left for Africa in 1887. Collins passed away in 1940, weeks shy of her 89th birthday. With those two women, I want to encourage you to read more of their story because it's just amazing of what all they did. And I tried to condense it down into a small paragraph. But think about the women in your life who have made an impact in your life and in your faith. I bet it would be very difficult to make it snip it down into just five sentences, right? Lastly, I want to share with you, kind of known as the mother of Methodism, is Susanna Wesley. Susanna was born in 1669. She never preached a sermon. She never published a book. She never founded a church. But she is the mother of one of the church history's greatest dynamic duos, John and Charles Wesley. She is the person who is responsible for their education and spiritual transformation. She had 19 children, 9 of which died as infants. And by the time she passed away, 8 of her children were still alive. It is stated that Susanna had spreadsheets before there were spreadsheets. She had an incredible organizational style and schedule and made time to nurture each child. She would mark out an hour each week to focus specifically on that child, to give them the attention and spiritual direction that they personally needed in their lives. Long before women were ordained, she would sometimes gather friends around the kitchen table and read scripture and lead prayers as her preacher husband was away. She kept the parish going in her absence. And she also planted the unconventional idea of letting lay people serve as local preachers. Us as our ordained clergy, we don't know what we would do without the laity. You see, she led by example. Her life and faith journey shaped Methodism in ways we see today. I asked you a question of what do you see or what does it mean to be empowered at the very beginning? Well, if you look at the dictionary, it states that empower is to give power or authority to authorize. To make someone stronger and more confident, especially in controlling their life and claiming their right. Now, there's also what is called divine empowerment, which occurs when a person becomes connected to God through Jesus Christ by answering a divine call and participates in God's divine plan. Now, I don't know if all of you know this, but each of you has some sort of a calling. God has granted you with some amazing gifts. It'd be kind of fun to, we're not going to do this, so don't worry. We're not going to spend the rest of the day going through and seeing what each of our gifts are. But I bet if we went around the room, if you don't know your gift, I bet the person next to you or your family will know your gift. And sometimes it takes others to tell us what our gifts are. You see, a person is empowered as they become members of God's family, receiving authority from the risen Christ to fulfill their individual divine mediating role. There's a word in Greek, dunamis, which means inherent power, power residing in a thing by virtue of its nature, or which a person or thing exerts and puts forth. It means strength, power, and authority. You see, this word is used in Acts 1:8, having the meaning of authority, which states, "But you will rescue, you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." We are not empowered because of our own selves. We are empowered because of the Holy Spirit, because we are in Christ. Being in Christ is not any kind of mystical removal from the real world. Because what kind of impact would that have on our lives if it was something up there and not living? That's why Scripture is called the living Word of God. You see, on the contrary, it becomes the starting point and base camp for a quite differently motivated and directed life. In Paul's mind, our life with Christ is at the center. The Christ who suffered on our behalf. When we come to discern this truth, we also discover the true source of our strength in the person of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ being that truth source of our strength, we are empowered to be who God has called us to be as men and women of God. Now I'm going to ask you to repeat after me. I am empowered.
I am empowered.
Yes, you guys said it with authority. I'm empowered. I mean, there were games yesterday. Yay. Go Jesus. Is that how we cheer for our teams? Are we enthusiastic? And sometimes, okay, I'm going to go into the other room because you're being a little too loud, right? It's the same in our faith. Am I empowered? No, I am empowered. Say it again. I am empowered. There we go. So anytime you feel down and discouraged, no, you know what? I am in Christ and I am empowered. Say it with authority and strength. And power, because guess what? It's not our power, right? Because if it was in our power, I'd be like, I'm empowered? Maybe? But when we are in Christ, we can say, I am empowered. One more time.
I am empowered.
Yes. You see, in the face of our trials and tribulations in our scripture today, Paul reminds us transformation is possible only when we invite Christ in our lives, which enables us to become a new creation from the inside out, subtracting our anxieties, doubts, and fears. Did I say take away? I said subtract. But sometimes when we are in Christ, that's kind of when problems kind of arise. Because again, it's not our life and our choice, it's God. So sometimes we have that wrestling. You see, in everyone's spiritual journey, there is that first moment when we believe, like truly believe. I want you to think back for a moment of when that was in your life. Maybe it hasn't quite yet occurred yet. But think back to a moment when you first really believed. You see, this is only the first step. Because in our spiritual life, there is always a second step. When we come to trust that God will walk beside us through all the peaks and valleys of our lives, that's when we have that confidence. You know what? I can walk through this because I am not alone. And that's what empowers me. This is when we journey with God and are able to lean upon God, who is as near as our breath, dwelling inside of us and waiting to be discovered so that the work of recreation and transformation can begin. In Christ, I am empowered. I am an ambassador for Christ. You are an ambassador for Christ. Now, it's really hard not to compare ourselves to other people, right? Especially with social media today. We see it definitely in teens and youth, because we can make a picture say whatever we want it to say of how we're feeling. But God knows us. He knows our struggles. He knows our joys. He knows our concerns. It's very hard to step out when maybe your calling is maybe a little bit different than other people. I know for myself, whenever I was an active duty military chaplain, there's 50 women out of 900 chaplains. There's many other times of stepping out that's a little bit fearful. Even though I was shaken in my bones, it's one of those things, Tiffany, you are empowered because you're in me. So I remember just kind of thinking back of Christ speaking to me. You are empowered. And when someone tells you different, no, I am empowered. And go to people who are encouraging, who will encourage you that you are empowered, that you are his ambassador, that you are a beautiful child of God. You see, because we are in Christ, we can be empowered to have the courage and strength to do his will. When Christ left, what did he do? Did he just leave, or did he say, I'm going to leave you with a great comforter? I'm going to leave you with the Holy Spirit. And I feel that's God of the Holy Spirit is working within us today. Still. Can be with all of you and me and our brothers and sisters in Christ throughout the world, throughout Salt Lake City. We are empowered, and what would the church look like if we were all, like, lived into that, believing that they were empowered? What kind of change could we see from the inside out? These women of faith that I have shared with you, and like I said, I would love to take hours to spend to listen of, who is that strong woman of faith in your life that empowered you? As children of God, the Holy Spirit dwells within us, leads us, comforts us, speaks to us daily, and will continue to do so throughout the ages. I am empowered. In the name of the Father, Son.
Welcome to the Hilltop United Methodist Church podcast. Hilltop is located in Sandy, Utah, 985 East, 10,600 South. Locals would say 106th. Our two worship services are at 9 o'clock and 10:30. Hope to see you this Sunday. God bless. Bye-bye.